Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love of Heart Movement Radio Show. This is Cheryl Jones, the Queen of Hearts, and I am super excited that you joined us today. Today, you guys, our show called Featured Fridays, and we have a treat for you. We have Lisa Duty here, and she is the Director of Strategic Initiatives at Rocks Digital. And Lisa, I am so excited that you joined me today. Are you here?
I am absolutely here, and I'm excited to be here today, too, Cheryl.
Yes.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm super excited. Well, you guys, I invited Lisa because, number one, she is a social media genius, but number two, she has a wonderful conference coming up. So we're going to do this interview. We're going to talk about social media, but in between, she's going to give us a lot of good info about the conference. So you guys can join us here in the Dallas area in Addison, Texas, here soon. So she's going to give us information as we go along. So first of all, Lisa, I want you to tell us about yourself. But tell us, how did you get two S's in your name?
That's an hilarious question, Cheryl.
Well, yeah.
So not many people know this about me, but it sounds like everybody in the world is about to know this about me. So when I was 15, I decided I didn't like my name anymore. Ooh. And so I literally, Lisa is actually a nickname. I changed it when I was 15. That's why I said you're the first one I've ever asked. I changed it when I was 15 to Lisa and decided that I wanted to be different, and so I stuck two S's in it. And that's really kind of how it's happened, and it's been that way ever since.
Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. You guys, first of all, we're going to be pointing out some good points. The first thing that you need to note is that it's okay to be different. And she did something about it, y'all. She changed her name. That is incredible.
That's right.
I don't know, at 15, I could have led Silent Prayer Girl, so I definitely couldn't have changed my name. That is,
I actually
so funny.
I tried three names on, actually.
I tried
three different names on. I tried Debbie, Tara, and Lisa, and Lisa's the one that stuck. I was just testing them out. I guess that's just something that you know,
hilarious.
My mom always taught us, if we didn't like something, change it. So I
change
did.
It. Yeah. I'm putting that down in show notes. If you don't like something, change it. Oh, my goodness. I can already tell that this is going to be a great show, you guys. So y'all better get your pens and paper out because she's about to go in hard now, you guys. Okay. So I wanted to know, tell me about social media from the standpoint on this particular question, a person who's just not with it. I'm going to say, and I hate to use ages, but let's just say it's a 60-year-old or a 50-something-year-old person, and they're like, I just don't get it. Why are people on social media? I just don't get it. Why do you think social media is important, especially if you own a business?
Well, and that's a really good question, Cheryl. The fact is, the 50s and the 60s and the older generation, if they're still struggling with social media, a lot of times it's just because they don't understand it, because it intimidates them. Mm-hmm. And so what I'll usually talk with them about to kind of sell them on the idea of why they need to use it is talk to them about what kind of business they have, what their product or their service is, mm-hmm. and then give them examples of how they could share about that online. And a lot of times, mm-hmm. once you get them inspired, get some passion going, because that's the most important thing about social media. That's why I love it. That's why I've been doing it so long, is I am passionate about it. So if I can find a way to get their passion going, a lot of times they will get on the bandwagon about it. They just might need some training or some coaching or some guidance along the way. But just getting passionate about it by talking about how they could use social media in their business, give them some real world examples. That's how I do it.
That is awesome. Oh my goodness, that's a good idea. And just knowing that everybody has a story and that story needs to be shared, that it can help other people, that is powerful. And just really explaining how social media, I mean, you can't go to a million places and tell your story, but social media, you can meet a million people. Definitely. Definitely.
Exactly.
So I love that. I definitely love that, definitely. Well, let's talk about a new business owner. I am so into business. I have a conference coming up called I Love Business because I truly love business. But I wanted to find out from you, what if a person is just getting started and they're just setting up everything? They may have a personal Facebook account or whatnot, but they're just getting their business pages set up and whatnot. What do you feel is the best and the easiest platform for a person to get their business out there to the masses?
The quickest way, in my opinion, is to use Twitter. And it's actually where I started my business in 2009, Cheryl. I don't know if you know that or not, but
no.
In 2009, I had a brand new business. Before I went to work for an agency, I was a solo consultant SMB all the way through 2014. And I grew my business online with Twitter. And one of the ways I did that, Cheryl, was by connecting with some key influencers. And when I say key influencers, I'm not referring to, say, Scott Stratton and, Unmark, and he's awesome, and Chris Brogan and all those.
Right.
I'm referring to influencers within a circle. They weren't like, they had like 6,000-7,000 followers. They had more than me, but they didn't have, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. They were small. They were small enough they were going to pay attention to who I was, but still they had a bigger influence than me. And so if I connected with them on Twitter and established a rapport by retweeting them, asking them questions, having a conversation with them, giving them respect they're due as a successful business owner for however long they had been, then my influence would start to roll over to them by them retweeting me and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And my influence grew because as they retweeted me and had conversation back and forth with me, they're the people that followed them that looked to them as an authority started seeing that. And so my tribe grew to be their tribe, and it just kept growing and it got bigger and bigger and bigger based off that. Twitter is one of the quickest ways, if you're genuine, if you're dedicated to it. Now, I don't mean by that send one or two tweets and not, I've done my work, I aggressively went out. I followed people. They didn't follow me back. I unfollowed them. I followed more people, And in the meantime, I worked on targeting three key individuals that had influence and developed a rapport with them. It's actually one of the, not trying to peddle books or anything, Cheryl, but it's actually one of the tips in my book. I actually have a book, and all the tips are actually how I grew my online presence to where I am today in the whole book.
No, please. I always do a book recommendation. So tell us the name of your book.
Well, it started out as 20 Tips to Twitter Success, and then I revised it a year later, and it's now 25 Tips to Twitter Success. I kind of added some advanced stuff into it and reworked the tips. Because nowadays, you write something, you always want to improve it. You always want to change it anyway. So I revised it later, and so it's actually 25 Tips to Twitter Success, and it includes additional tips for Twitter insight. And it is really about how to grow a following, and it's really the tips I used starting out in 2009 as a small business owner and a consultant.
That is amazing. That is wonderful. And I just totally understand and appreciate that, because when you know something, you guys, and this is something I just want you as a business owner to think about. It doesn't take anything away from Lisa sharing her 25 tips for Twitter. And you're thinking, most people think in survival and slack mode and thinking, oh, man, if I share this, I won't have it. No, the more you share, the more you get. So just always remember that. And she is so gracious and so willing to share those tips with anybody who's determined to have success. So that's one of the keys of being a successful business owner, is we're always willing and able to share, how can we make money? How can you make money? What can I do to help you? I tell people all the time, if you're going into any type of situation, especially here in the state of Texas, where you're going to receive money from the state of Texas, call me. I've done $6.4 million, you guys. So, and I tell people not to brag or anything, but I've learned a lot in these last 10 years. And I want to tell people, don't do that. Do this, And it's stuff like that, you guys, that when you reach out to people that are business owners that have made a difference, that are constantly working to improve themselves, that's when you can do some real learning. Lisa, do you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. And I was going to tell you that, Cheryl, it's one of the ways that a lot of people know me, And the way a lot of people know me is because I've done exactly that. You know, I'm always willing to share what's worked for me, because why do other people need to go through the process of learning what works and what doesn't if you already have done something and it works for you? Share that information. It's not going to hurt your business or your consultancy or whatever it is you're doing. It's not going to damage you. All it's going to do is that person, when they succeed based off of what you shared with them, they're going to tell all their friends. They're going to be like, wow, so-and-so told me about this idea that worked for them, and it worked for me, and I'm so excited, and they'll thank you every time they see you. I'm not it's happened to me 100 times over.
Yes.
And, you know, your success, when other people are successful, it's your success, too, because you helped them along the way.
Absolutely. Yes. I just get such a wonderful feeling when someone came back and said, okay, this happened and I got the contract or whatever. You know, it's so important, you guys, that you're just willing to share. And that's why I called this show the Love of Heart Movement Radio Show, because what I found out in my life, not only am I a social worker, that's what I do and that's who I am at my core. I love people. And when you love people, you guys, you want to see people succeed. I don't want to see you in pain, you know. I don't want to see you hurt for anything. So that's why I tell people, when somebody is offering the free clarity sessions or whatever, take those. They don't have any problem giving that to you, you know. And that's what I do is I make sure that, hey, if you want to work with me or if you want to gain some insight from me, come. I'll do 30 minutes with you over the phone. That is no big deal, because I just know that if you can gain clarity, you can change your life, you can change your family's life, and who knows how many people you're going to touch. It's just a big, big, you know, ball of enthusiasm just floating all around, you know. So I just tell people that's the main thing, is just making sure that, you know, you reach out to people that can help you for sure. Well, I wanted to find out, I want to turn the corner a little bit. So, and I wanted to find out, what do you feel is the biggest challenge with social media?
Well, the biggest challenge is with a new network popping up, it seems like, every day, sometimes two, let's be honest, is knowing when you should go to that platform or if you should spend time on it or check it out, you know, and that's the biggest challenge. And I'll tell people that you can't be all things everywhere, okay? So pick the platforms, especially if you're starting out, that you connect with naturally and build your following on there, and then grow out and start leveraging the others. Don't try to do all of them at one time, you know. I'm going to be honest. I have not embraced Snapchat. I have a Snapchat, but I have not embraced it. And the reason I haven't is because even though everybody's using it and everybody's so successful with it, whatever, I don't connect to it. And if I don't connect to it, I'm not going to necessarily have as much success as everybody else. And for me, I'm not passionate about it. And so I haven't played on it hardly at all. It's just not my thing. You know, I have an Instagram and I've put up some photos and stuff, and Instagram, I connect to Instagram more than Snapchat, but I'm not even active on there. It doesn't mean I'm doing something wrong or that I'm neglecting something. It just means that I realize that is not my love, and that I'm not passionate about it, and so I'm going to stick to the things that I'm passionate about. And for me, that is Facebook and Twitter and leveraging LinkedIn and some Google Plus. And then every now and then, you know, I would do a blab or a live video or some other platforms, Pinterest, but I just use the ones that you connect with and don't worry about the others. You know, you can always add them in later, but you don't have to be all things to all people everywhere.
Yes, that is so true, because I was just kind of feeling like, okay, Cheryl, there's another one. Just when I feel like, okay, I got my Twitter down, I'm up to 1,600 followers, yay, I'm getting all excited, and then something else comes out, and I'm thinking, and then you get the messages from people, are you on da-da-da-da yet? And I'm like, no, I'm not.
You can always go out and claim your profile and your ID just so you can park on it, but it doesn't mean you have to go out and be active on it right away. Don't let that or anybody that's listening to the show, don't let the fact that another network's coming out intimidate you. Because a lot of times they're going to gain a lot of momentum at first, and then they might even die off the vine. I mean, I like Blab, and Blab was super big, but how often do you hear somebody talking about it now? I remember when Elo came out. Now, I do have an Elo, And I went in there multiple times. I was like, man, you know, trying to get into it, and you you barely hear about that at all nowadays. It's like, Ula, what? What's that? You know?
I don't even know that one.
Yeah, exactly. You don't let that discourage you. Just focus on Twitter. If you love it and you've mastered it and you're great at it, you know, focus on that and keep growing your online presence there and really mastering that platform, because the better you get at that one, the easier when you do decide you want to add Snapchat or whatever to
the mix.
Absolutely. The easier it'll be for you because you know how to use Twitter like a pro.
Yeah, I hear you. Oh, I so agree with you. So that is amazing. Well, I want to do something now because I want to give the last few minutes to just the conference. I wanted you to give us one piece of advice for these two categories. I am overwhelmed with questions from individuals starting a business. Okay, so that's the first group, the future entrepreneurs. And then the second group are struggling entrepreneurs. So if you had a piece of advice for both of them, what would that be?
About relating to attending the conference or just in general?
No, just in business in general. You know, a future entrepreneur, what would you tell them? Uh-huh. And then a struggling entrepreneur, what would you tell them?
So a future entrepreneur being somebody that wants to start their own business, but they haven't done it yet, they're still in a 9-to-5 job, okay? My advice to them would be to go ahead and start building up and relating to social media, go ahead and start building up an online presence. Go ahead and build up a persona because they know they want to go somewhere eventually. Because they can add value to the network. You know, they can start connecting with people. They can start establishing a rapport, you know, but while they're still working at the day job, whatever it is, you know, talk about things they're passionate about. You know, they don't have to try to sell a product or a service. Share an idea, the things that they think where they're going to be, the business they're going to have. Build up a reputation around that area and that expertise. And so they'll be ahead of everybody when they go out and launch their business because they already have a following and have established relationships, and people are going to be excited and want to congratulate them like crazy when they do go off on their own. Now, for the struggling business owner that, you know, is debating, you know, because that question can go so many ways, Cheryl. If they're debating, hey, do I want to keep fighting the good fight or do I need to give up and get a job? You know, so my advice for them, okay, and, you know, I've been there. I was a struggling business owner for years. Now, when I went to work for Advice Interactive, the agency, and which then rebranded to Advice Local recently, when I went to work for them, I actually wasn't struggling as an entrepreneur. And so I was actually in one of the best positions I had been in financially at that point. My business was growing. I'd been in there 5 years. And so it was a big decision for me to make the choice to give up my business and to move on to the company, okay?
Right.
But for the struggling entrepreneur that's like, I'm not making ends meet, my advice for them, okay, is if they're not able to pay their bills or not able to support their family, okay, go ahead and see if you can get a part-time gig, a part-time opportunity.
Yep.
You know,
and
work on the part and have the part-time opportunity, the part-time job or whatever it is, while you're in the slump in your business. You know, when I started my business, actually, Cheryl, there was a year, 2 years, I had a full-time job in addition to my business. And I carried a full-time job, and then gradually, as my business grew, I was able to cut back the hours at my job until one day I no longer needed it anymore. Now, I have one advantage that so many didn't have, and I worked for a career counselor that I had worked for since I was 18 years old, and her thing was breeding entrepreneurs. And so for her to see me grow and build my own business, she was all for that, you know. So I was lucky in that aspect. But, you know, you can find part-time jobs. I have a friend in the industry, John Noswell, who actually works with me now at the agency at Advice Local. But before that, he had his own business, and he had a part-time job for years and years and years. He worked from 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. every morning at a local Home Depot to kind of pad his income while his business grew.
Yep.
I mean, so many entrepreneurs do that. So if there's a struggling entrepreneur out there and they're struggling to make ends meet, don't feel like you're giving up if you have to go out and get some supplemental income. Don't feel like it's a failure, because it's not. You're making the smart choice. You're going to make it so you can survive while you can continue to grow your business so it can support you solely. Don't ever think of it as a failure. Think of it as being smart.
Yes, I am so glad you said that, because so many times I've interviewed, I think, 201 people. You're 201, so I'm so excited. But I have talked to so many people about that. Many times they say, no, don't give up. I don't think it's giving up either. I think it's being smart. It's like, guess what? The light bill still needs to be paid. So while you're still, trying to get your business off the ground, you still need some income. So I am right there with you. Oh, I'm so excited that you shared that. Now I want to turn the corner and talk specifically about the conference. And Lisa, you don't know this, but I'm going to share. Next Saturday, I will go to conference number 80 outside of Dallas. So I only count the ones outside of Dallas, because I can go to a conference every day of my life. That's how much I love to learn. So I am super excited about your conference, and I just want you to take a time now and give the audience a personal invite and tell them why they should attend.
So I think to do that, and I got to see how much time I have so I can be quick here, to tell people why I started the conference. I think that's the biggest thing that explains it. So in 2012, Mashable declared June 30th Social Media Day. And at this time, nobody was holding an all-day social media conference. They were having tweet-ups and little events and whatever. And actually, Mashable, I said 2012. In 2010, Mashable declared June 30th Social Media Day. Okay. In 2012, and I had been celebrating since 2010, but in 2012, I was like, man, nobody's giving Social Media Day its due. This is an awesome day. They need more than a one-hour event or a tweet-up or whatever. They need something bigger. And so I'm one of those people, if I get an idea, Cheryl, it scares my friends. I'll be like, hey, I got a great idea. They're like, oh, no. Because the minute I get an idea, if I'm actually sharing it with you, it's really not an idea anymore. I'm now doing it.
It's happening.
And so in 2012, I was like, you know what? Nobody's giving Social Media Day its due. I'm going to have an all-day conference. So literally within two months, I planned a Social Media Day conference. It was at the Social House, an actual restaurant. Social Media Day has to be a social place, right?
Yeah,
so it was at the Social House in Addison. My friend Robin Moss helped me find the venue because she lived locally there in Addison, and I sold 100 tickets. I literally had people begging me to get a ticket to come, okay? And this day was awesome. And it had Patty Farmer and J.R. Atkins and Fred Campos and Mike Merrill and all the names in the industry. Giovanni was there, Neil Lemons, we're all there, and we're at this event. And it was so exciting, and it was 100% focused on SMBs. The tickets were just $30, and it included a meal, okay? That's where it was in 2012. Now, of course, as the conference grew year from year, I'm paying for the restaurant. I didn't have to pay them for a venue. I just had to pay for everybody's food, right? So as you grow, of course, conference tickets prices go up because I started paying for hotels, for breakout rooms, for all this. And then, of course, today, right now, the tickets on the side for it's 3 days instead of one. Before, it was just a one-day event. It's 3 days. It has pre-conference workshops. And then June 30th, which is Social Media Day, we do a format that's really cool. People dig it. We do merge room presentations, so we're all together, all 300 of us, and then we break after lunch and go into three rounds of breakouts, and there's five breakouts running at each time, and you can pick, and there's a social track, there's a local search and SEO track, there's a mobile and web development track, there's a content track, and then I have even a business development track. And that track's like sales and general marketing. So there's a variety of stuff for people to benefit from.
Yeah.
So we go into breakouts, and then we go back into merge room presentations, and that's June 30th, Social Media Day. We have two awesome keynotes this year. Barry Swartz, who's going to talk about SEO, is opening. Eric Ng with Stone Temple Consulting, who's going to talk about digital marketing as a whole, as a closing keynote. That's June 30th, and this year we've added a third day, which is July 1st, which has officially been proclaimed by the town of Addison as Local Search Day, Cheryl. really excited
Wonderful.
About that. And so this year, local search day, the whole day we're all going to be in one room. We have one awesome keynote already lined up. I haven't officially confirmed the second one yet for the closing. We have Greg Sterling with Local Search Association because, hey, it's local search day. You got to have local search, right?
Yeah.
Greg Sterling with Local Search Association opens up. We have two awesome panels planned that day with experts on it. The morning panel is going to focus on local search for the SMB. The afternoon panel is going to focus on local search for multi-location businesses and brands. And then we have two middle speakers. We got Info Group that's going to come and talk about data. And then Chris Malone, who's going to talk about multi-location brand management. And then, of course, we'll have a closing. So all 3 days are awesome. Oh, no, I forgot to tell you, the first day, June 29th, is pre-conference workshops. Now, most of these workshops are literally for SMBs. Yes, digital marketers and all of us would learn and grow from them, but I started this to serve SMBs. So the whole conference is laid out not just so it's packed full of all this technical knowledge that, you know, the average Joe's going to be intimidated by. The whole conference is laid out so you can – there's something for you as a small business owner that knows very little all the way up to you're the geek. Right. You're going to learn and you're going to benefit from it. Right. And the pre-conference workshops do that. Byron Ingram's going to do a workshop about identifying your target audience. I've got Brian Sullivan, who's the founder of Big Design. It's one of the biggest UX conferences around. He spoke at South By multiple times. He's been featured on SlideShare. I can't even tell you how many times. And he is going to present on how to speak and how to present. He's going to do a workshop on that. And I think that's so important because whether you're speaking to a big group or you're pitching to an individual client, you're speaking and you're presenting. And so you need to learn how to do that masterfully. And so he's going to teach all the SMBs and whoever's in the room how to do that. We have Beth Kallick, who's going to talk about SEO. I'm trying to think. I have two more workshops. I'm having trouble recalling the other two right now. But, we have a Google My Business workshop. That's right. Justin Lyles, wow, who is with the Chief Product Officer at Vice Local, he's doing a Google My Business workshop, and he's going to have all the people that are in the room will learn how to optimize their Google My Business page because you have to have a Google My Business to show up if you have a local business in search these days. That's just what it is. But he's also a trusted verifier, so anybody that comes that day prepared can get their location verified right there on the spot instead of having to mail off and get a postcard and all these other things. So it's just an awesome conference. I was counting how many speakers I have the other day. I have 37 speakers right now, and I still have more to add. So it's going to have over 40 speakers by the time it's done. Okay. And the passion that's there at the conference, Cheryl, and I have so many people say this. This isn't just something I coined. This is actually attendees have told me this. They come back to the conference every year because it's like a family reunion. They come
really?
Back and see all the people that they connected with the year before. Because the way I structure the conference is, yes, it's a big conference, and yes, it's grown, and yes, tickets have started costing more because I'm paying for the Addison Conference Center. I have to pay for a big venue. You know, when you bring speakers in from other places, you know, sometimes you have to cover travel or hotel or whatever to get them to come. So there's other expenses that come into play, and plus you feed everybody mornings, afternoons, coffee, water at all costs. But it's exciting because even though all that stuff is going on, when you're there in the environment, the energy, all those digital marketers or those CEOs or those high-class executives that are there, they're the same as the small business owner that started out years and years ago as this entrepreneur trying to make ends meet. And so there's this camaraderie and this spirit at the conference that everybody wants to collaborate and help each other. And I've worked really hard to set that tone at the conference every year, you know, with the way I do the breakouts. You know, if you're in a breakout session and the speaker is talking and you have a question, you don't need to wait till the Q&A time. You raise your hand and ask the question, you know. You get your answer then, you know. And it's just exciting. And I know I'm talking a lot, but I love it.
That's
and you know how that goes. Anyway, I'll shut up, Cheryl.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, it sounds amazing. Okay, give us the dates again.
So the conference is June 29th, June 30th, and July 1st. Okay. People that want to know more about it can go to rocks, and that's R-O-C-K-S, digital.com, and do a backslash. Maybe it's a backslash. I can never remember. One of those
I think it's
on
a backslash. I have it here in the show notes. Yes, yeah,
and then 2016, and that'll redirect them right to the conference page. Just rocksdigital.com 2016. It'll take them there. They can learn all about it. I wanted to give you a special promo code. I haven't really announced this that much publicly, but right now we're celebrating Local Search Day, and so they can use the code Local Search Day, all uppercase, and register for 50% off the ticket price.
Shut up.
But they need
local
to act fast.
Local Search Day. Okay, hold on. Local Search Day. Okay,
and that'll work for a one-day or a two-day ticket. They can register for one or 2 days with that code, and it'll discount the rate 50%. If they want to come to the workshops and they send me a personal email, I'll gladly throw those in. They just have to email me and say, hey, I want to come to workshops, and I'll just go ahead and throw those in the mix. That was an offer I had did originally when we started registration. You could have all three for the early registration fee, but I still have some space. I saw some space in those, so if somebody wants to go to those two, just say, hey, I just registered. If they buy a two-day ticket, they can email me and say, hey, I just registered. I really want to go to the workshop. Can you give me a code to register? And I'll gladly do it.
Oh, that is amazing. Thank you so much for that, Lisa. This is awesome. And I know I'm going to be getting my ticket and getting there, you guys. I want y'all to join me. I'll be doing some coverage from the, you know, my videos that I do all the time. I'll definitely be there in the house interviewing people. I'm going to be grabbing everybody, y'all. So y'all going to have to watch and be there with me. So definitely, I am super excited that I had a chance to spotlight you, Lisa. This has been so much fun and just really educational. And that's what you guys, we want to bring. We want to always be people that you can approach. And when you see us out, just know you can come up and grab and you can give me a hug. I think, Lisa, you take hugs too, don't you?
I do. I'm up for a hug. Everybody needs
a
hug.
Well, you can hug both of us, you guys, if y'all see us in the community. Please come up and say, hey, I heard your interview. It was wonderful. So definitely connect with the conference. Connect with Lisa. Connect with me. Just do some connecting, y'all. That's what it's all about. If you want to turn the corner in your business and make some great things happen for great people, definitely be out in the community and see things happening and be a part of it. So thank you so much, Lisa. Do you want to say anything else in closing?
I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having me today and listening. And if you want to ask me anything, feel free to reach out on social media. It's one of the easier ways to catch me. Just reach out and ask me a question or Facebook me or whatever. I'm here for y'all.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Thank you. Well, this is Cheryl Jones, the Queen of Hearts, with the Love of Heart Movement Radio Show. You guys have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.